entire applications development team of the IRS now has been accredited by an external agency as making what I call the baseline for being world-class. And private enterprise, especially world-class IT shops, at a minimum, are, in my view, are at level 3 of CMMI. And this is basically declaring yourself in that process improvement model that you've reached a level of maturity where your IT shop can deliver things using enterprise standards consistently and reliable. And you've begun to use metrics or facts and data to demonstrate that, both to yourselves with all the process steps, but also to the customers who are going to use the deliverables that you produce. And with ITIL, ITIL is the equivalent for CMMI, but for operations, the same set of accreditation for a number of key processes like incident management, change management, those kinds of things for when you're running an IT shop. And this is, again, across the organization, which is something perhaps unique. Most shops that I'm aware of tend to do these kind of process improvements for a particular project or a particular program. And we elected a couple years ago to do it for the entire IT community.
It's interesting because you guys at the IRS have one of the biggest probably software development cadre of workers and across the government. Is that why it made sense for you guys to look at CMMI level 3 and get that certification across the entire organization versus, for instance, just for your business systems modernization effort?
We did this because when I came on board about 4 years ago, what I recognized is that we tended to be still stuck in the 1990s and what I would call a guild shop mentality, which is where you have some very superb people, masters of their craft, and then with them on various projects with people of varying degrees of skill, journeymen and women, and then apprentices, people who are basically new and a lot less experienced. And each one of those projects would deliver, but they would do it according to the tenets of the masters, so to speak. And each master, in turn, would do it differently than someone else. And thus, projects would all be siloed, and people would use different programming practices, different programming languages, would deliver systems of varying degrees of quality and such. And this was across the entire IRS. And similarly, in the operations community, we tended to be, while we always were able to deliver filing season, we were having difficulty in many areas that would seem to repeat themselves. Problems would occur over and over again, the same problems. And thus, I decided that by declaring ourselves to be on a path to world class, you know, it would take us a number of years to get there. But if you're going to be world class, you have to clean up your processes and adopt a number of standards and do things in a consistent and far more reliable way across the entire enterprise. Because systems don't operate in silos. They're used by all customers and across the entire operation community. So we took this on to say, if we're going to be world-class, we've got to do this differently. And first thing is get to level 2. You know, level 1 is basically declaring yourselves chaotic and in an unpredictable, poorly controlled environment and begin to adopt the disciplines that are required to certify yourself at level 2, where you finally start having some repeatable managed processes, and then ultimately to level 3. And we knew it was going to be long-term. These things are not done in 6-month increments or even 1-year increments. From experience, I know that it takes at least 18 months, if not 24 months, to get from level to level in CMMI and ITIL. And so we allowed ourselves 18 months to get to level 2, and then roughly 18 months to 24 months later, we've now finally reached level 3 with both CMMI and ITIL.
Give me a sense of the changes in processes that CMMI and or ITIL will bring. Like, can you give me a hard example of, we used to do it this way and now we do it that way?
If you go back to the guild model, each master would have a favorite programming language. Let's say someone preferred C-sharp or C++ for how they would develop any particular application. Or I've decided that this will run on Solaris because I happen to like Solaris. The change now is that decision is taken away. You have an architecture process in which we've selected certain technology standards that you're going to follow. You no longer have that choice. For example, I declared that Java would be our standard development language, and along with that comes a number of tools, and that the environments we would develop on would be Linux. Taking that choice away, but still allowing people room to debate it if they wanted to. In other words, if they could prove to me that the choice that they had to implement wouldn't do the job, then I would listen to reason. But it was no longer a case of constantly picking and choosing amongst competing choices. You have a choice and this is it. That itself was a dramatic change for the way the enterprise would operate.
One thing that stands out, though, is that you guys have a huge install base. So when you choose something like Java and Linux, you obviously have to take into account your install base because a lot of those systems have to run. You're not going to do a wholesale replacement across the board. So how do you find that balance?
You've hit the nail on the head. What we said was declare for all new development. You know, what we were doing with our customer account data engine, which we delivered last January, which was the, you know, for the first time in 50 years, we moved from the standard weekly batch processing to doing daily processing of tax returns. So those kinds of changes of living in a legacy environment while you're doing new, we, of course, had to balance out. But the balance is, for all new development, you'll do it this way. For the legacy environments, we're going to look for opportunities to convert. For example, if I want to train the workforce on Java, for example, not just the folk who are doing the development work, but all the people who are having to maintain systems with COBOL or with assembly language, I want you to begin to migrate that world to Java, and here's the training to do it. And we would treat each one of those as a project opportunity to develop wider skills. It worked a people problem for me. That is, how come only the developers get to do the sexy new stuff? How about me? So I could offer a career path for people who were maintaining the old. Hey, you too will get the new skills. And here's a way to do it. There was something in it for everyone to basically improve.